Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. State-sponsored terrorism.
Hello. The people who are trying so desperately to destroy Serbia now are a pretty weird bunch. The latest tactic they've come up with is to have computer hackers and cryptography experts in the Dirty Tricks division of our Central Intelligence Agency break into the computers of various banks around the world where Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic is rumored to have his personal bank accounts so that they can steal his money from him. It makes me think that the word intelligence needs to be removed from the name of the agency. I mean, what a dumb stunt. But it's about what one would expect of these Viet Cong enthusiasts left over from the 1960s, who are trying to be movers and shakers on the world scene today by bullying little countries into doing what they say. Milosevic won't take orders from Tony Blair and Bill Clinton and the rest of these aging adolescents who haven't a clue about the effective use of real power. So they will punish him by stealing his personal bank accounts. There must have been a lot of giggling going on among them when they came up with this scheme. You know, I really hope they go ahead with this idiotic plan to hack into the bank computers and steal Milosevic's savings. And I hope the plan is successful. It's not that I wish Milosevic ill, but such a stunt will go a long way towards sawing off the branch all these birds are sitting on. It will do wonders for people's confidence in the security of banks and will push this whole rotten structure just a little closer to the brink. They also arranged to have Milosevic indicted as a war criminal and have an international warrant issued for his arrest. That doesn't do much to persuade Milosevic to surrender to NATO, but it does set an interesting precedent. I like it on both grounds. I was becoming a little worried that Milosevic would make some sort of compromise settlement with NATO. Now he has another strong reason not to. And I look forward to the day when a bunch of real war criminals, including one at 10 Downing Street and another at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, can be put on public trial, convicted, and hanged along with all of their willing accomplices in the government and the media. The criminals themselves are in charge of the International War Crimes Tribunal at the moment. But fortunes change, and it's good to have this precedent. I mean, compare what Milosevic is alleged to have done, killing 340 Albanians, according to the indictment. Compare that with what the Clinton gang clearly has done. What could be more criminal than engaging in the systematic bombing of another country which has not in any way harmed or threatened us? A systematic bombing intended to destroy the country's infrastructure and which already has killed more than 2,000 civilians. Ted Kaczynski and Jack the Ripper were pikers compared to Bill Clinton and Tony Blair. Milosevic undoubtedly has treated the Albanians roughly. But let us remember that there was a large, well-armed terrorist army of Albanians, the KLA, operating in Serbia's Kosovo province. Milosevic crushed them last year, and his police dealt harshly with Albanians they suspected of aiding the terrorists. But that was nothing compared to what is happening now. When Madeleine Albright began dropping her bombs on Kosovo in March of this year, real suffering was inflicted on the Albanians. Virtually all of the Albanian refugees who have fled Kosovo or who still are in Kosovo became refugees after the bombing started. Many of them are fleeing the bombs, and for good reason. About as many Albanians as Serbs have been killed in Kosovo by Madeleine's bombs, rockets, and missiles. Whether a bomb lands on your village by accident or on purpose The consequences are the same for you. And so the villagers head for the border to get away from the bombing. And some of the Albanians are fleeing the stepped-up anti-terrorist efforts of Milosevic's police. These efforts have been stepped up because of the bombing, not despite it. One may tolerate a certain degree of disaffection in time of peace, but in time of war, one cannot afford to be so tolerant. The Serbs are cracking down on Albanians inside Serbia now for exactly the same reason Americans cracked down on Japanese inside the United States after Pearl Harbor. I am sure that this crackdown on the Albanians is rough and in some cases atrocious, but the Serbs are fighting for the preservation of their country and their people. Most Americans cannot even imagine what that is like because they never have experienced it yet. They just sit on their couches and watch the war on TV, then switch channels to the ball game. The Serbs have to worry about being killed at any second, and so they sometimes act in a way that may seem rough or intolerant to American couch potatoes. Clinton and his Jews, of course, are blaming the suffering of both the Serbs and the Albanian refugees entirely on Milosevic. Their reasoning is that if Milosevic would just surrender to NATO, then the bombing could stop and no more people would be killed or injured. As long as you refuse to surrender, then you have only yourself to blame for the bombing. That's like blaming a robbery victim who is shot during a holdup. If you had just given him your wallet like he demanded, then he wouldn't have shot you. You have only yourself to blame because you resisted. I guess a lot of Americans see nothing wrong with that sort of reasoning. We've really been feminized. American men have been conditioned to think and react like women. But even Americans should be able to understand that stealing the money from Milosevic's personal bank accounts and then issuing an international warrant for his arrest so that he can be tried as a war criminal doesn't make sense in the context of the stated war aims of the Clinton gang, which is to force Milosevic to sign the agreement they have prepared. If Milosevic has a few million dollars stashed in a foreign bank account and can retire to a life of ease somewhere, and if he really is just a typical politician like those in Washington with no real patriotism in him, then he might be persuaded to surrender and let the Clinton gang have its way with his country. But with no money and nowhere to go where he and his family can be safe, he'll fight to the bitter end, patriot or not. Wouldn't you? So either these thugs in the Clinton government are really stupid, or they've been lying to us all along about their intentions in Yugoslavia, just like everything else. Well, I promised you last week that I'd tell you about some of the lies the government and the media have been using to fool us about the war. And this question of just why the Clinton gang started the war is a good place to begin. The Clinton gang all tell us that their reason for starting an unprovoked war against Yugoslavia was to protect the Albanian ethnic minority in the country from the Serb majority. The war is strictly a humanitarian effort to keep Albanians from being brutalized and massacred by the Serbs. Madeleine Albright figured that the best way to show our humanitarian concern for the Albanian minority was to drop cluster bombs on Serb hospitals and schools and use F-16s to shoot up Serb passenger trains. Now, let me tell you, these people do some dumb things, but they really aren't quite as stupid as this lame brain excuse for starting a war would indicate. Madeleine Albright is no humanitarian, I'll guarantee you. Just look at that cold, cruel, predatory Jewish face on her. And the Clinton gang, of course, the abolition of national sovereignty everywhere, establishing the supremacy of the New World Order, and making sure that there is a proper racial balance in every country, a proper amount of ethnic and racial diversity, are cocktail party cliches. The twittering Gentile airheads in the gang are as enthusiastic for these goals as are the Jewish heavyweights who have been writing the script. But forcing the Serbs to be good multiculturalists is not really the ultimate reason for the current bombing of Serb schools and hospitals. In the long run, the New World Order enthusiasts plan to multiculturalize everyone, except themselves, of course. But multiculturalism is really only a means to an end, and that end is world domination, world ownership. The principal threat to that goal is nationalism. Multiculturalism is their antidote against nationalism. And Serbia makes a good choice for their first victim for several reasons. For one thing, the Serbs are strongly nationalistic. They are a nut that sooner or later would have to be cracked. For another, they are in a part of the world that the New World Order gang are interested in for other reasons, a principal one of which is Russia. When the Soviet Union self-destructed at the beginning of this decade, the New World Order gang saw an opportunity not for peace, stability, and coexistence, but for aggressive expansion into the power vacuum left by the defunct Soviet Union. They've been working hard in recent years to cement relationships with a number of former Soviet republics, to integrate them into the New World Order in a preliminary way. In recent months, NATO and U.S. delegations have been to Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan, all formerly parts of the Soviet Union, promising them aid and encouraging them to distance themselves from Russia politically, economically, and militarily. The governments of Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan already have formed an alliance with three other former Soviet republics, Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldavia, all of whom also are being pulled into a NATO orbit. Only Romania separates Moldavia from Serbia. The Serbs certainly are more pro-Russian than any other country in the region. In the conflict between Muslim Albanians and Christian Serbs, the New World Order gang certainly have taken into consideration the fact that the three former Soviet republics they have been wooing most intensely during the past year, Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan, all are Muslim. In addition, the latter are the key to acquiring control over the enormously rich Caspian petroleum resources. Why not cripple Serbia now? Take her mineral-rich Kosovo province away from her and acquire the image of a friend and protector of Muslims. I doubt that that will impress Osama bin Laden and other Muslims who have a major grievance against America, but it might help a bit with the Azerbaijanis. There's more than oil and other minerals involved here. Russia is still big enough and well-armed enough to defend itself. As in Serbia, there's much nationalist sentiment in Russia, and the New World Order gang are quite concerned about what may happen if Russia ever acquires patriotic leadership. They have tried hard to prevent that. They worked hard behind the scenes to get Boris Yeltsin elected, and they have propped him up with loans and promises. Yeltsin is a front man for the Jewish billionaires and mafia bosses who are bleeding Russia dry. But there are genuine nationalists among the Russian leaders who may replace Yeltsin, and there is a great deal of public hostility to the Jewish despoilers of Russia. With a strong nationalist leader enjoying popular support, it is entirely possible there could be a crackdown which would leave Jewish plutocrats and mafia bosses alike swinging from lampposts all over Moscow and St. Petersburg. A rebuilt Russia under nationalist leadership could derail the entire New World Order. This is a good time to deal with one other deception about this war. That is the effort to persuade people, including the American public and the Serbs, that this isn't a Jewish war. Go to just about any anti-war demonstration in the United States today, and among the speakers, there will be a Jew on the platform who will proclaim the friendship of the Jews for the Serbs. You were on our side against Hitler during the Second World War, the Jewish speaker will announce, and we never will forget that. Now, we are on your side. And the foolish Serbs will clap and cheer. Perhaps they forget that it was the Americans who really pulled the Jews' chestnuts out of the fire in the Second World War. Do the Serbs see any evidence of gratitude for that in what the Jews have done to America in the last 50 years? And I also have had listeners to my broadcasts write to me that they have found several Jewish groups on the Internet or have heard Jewish callers to talk radio programs saying that Jews support the Serbs and are against the NATO bombing. And in response to that, I will tell you that this business of confusing and disarming the opposition by pretending to be on both sides of an issue is one of the oldest tricks in the Jews' book. Consider the effort to take guns away from Americans. Jews are overwhelmingly in favor of just about every gun control move that has come along. The Jewish media are hysterically opposed to the private ownership of firearms by American citizens. Furthermore, most of the leaders of the gun control effort in the Congress are and have been Jews. At this time, the noisiest and pushiest of these is New York's Senator Charles Schumer. This doesn't mean, of course, that there aren't plenty of feminized, feather-brained Gentiles who believe we'd all be better off if we had no means to defend ourselves. And with 6 million Jews living in the United States, I am sure that there are a few individual Jews among them who do not favor gun control. But the fact remains that the Jew-controlled mass media and Jewish legislators and powerful Jewish organizations such as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith are the primary moving force behind the effort to abolish the Second Amendment, and knowledgeable patriots always have recognized this fact. So a few years ago, a handful of Jews set up an organization called Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, and their principal activity has been to proclaim loudly that gun control is not a Jewish, but a Nazi scheme. They run around the country announcing, "We're Jews and we're against gun control." They also buy advertisements in gun magazines which assert that Hitler's first move after he became Chancellor of Germany was to round up all privately owned firearms so that the German people could not rebel. That is the opposite of the truth. Actually, Hitler's government abolished many restrictions on buying and carrying firearms which had been established by the preceding liberal government. The Nazis believed in self-defense and encouraged firearms ownership and proficiency among German civilians. Hitler was the most popular leader the Germans have had in this century, and he was not afraid of his fellow citizens. He rode slowly through crowds of cheering Germans in an open car. No bulletproof glass, no police screening of the people who were allowed to shake his hand, no metal detectors. Quite a difference from Bill Clinton. When I first encountered the lies of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, I went to the trouble of digging up the original German law digests from the 1920s and 1930s, which contained the exact texts of the German firearms laws published at the time the laws were enacted. And I translated them into English and published my English translations along with photo facsimile copies of the original German laws. And yet, the Jews have succeeded in confusing many patriots, an all too easy task, unfortunately, and convincing them that Hitler was the father of all gun grabbers, that Jews in America are divided on the issue of gun control, and that people who propose new gun control laws are likely to be admirers of Hitler. The Jews who confused the issue of the war against Serbia by claiming to be on the side of the Serbs today are like the Jews who confused the issue of gun control by claiming to be against it. The fact is that every major Jewish organization in the United States has publicly declared its support for the war against Serbia. In fact, they were behind this war even before it started. Anyway, I have in front of me dozens of press releases, news interviews, and advertisements in the New York Times by Jewish organizations supporting the war. On March 29th, that's 5 days after the bombing started, B'nai B'rit International put out a press release headed, "B'nai B'rit Supports U.S. NATO Action in Yugoslavia." B'nai B'rit, which is the parent organization of the Anti-Defamation League, claims branches in 57 countries and bills itself as the world's largest Jewish organization. On April 3rd, a reporter for the Jewish Telegraphic Agency interviewed a number of prominent Jewish leaders and summed it up with the statement, and I quote, "The organized Jewish community has declared unwavering support for U.S. intervention in Kosovo," end quote. And what the organized Jewish community is supporting now is nothing less than state-sponsored terrorism and genocide against Serbs for the purpose of advancing Jewish schemes for a new world order. The Jew-serving politicians in Washington and in NATO are talking now about rearming the KLA and sending that gang of drug smugglers, cutthroats, and professional terrorists into Kosovo against the Serbs ahead of NATO troops, sort of a human shield. Do you know what terrorism is? Jadranka Djordjevic, a 64-year-old Serb woman who lives in Belgrade, does. She worked in the U.S. Embassy there for 30 years. She's dodging missiles and bombs now and worrying about how to stay alive. When a newspaper reporter told her recently that Hillary Clinton had said that the flight of the Albanian refugees from Kosovo reminded her of Holocaust scenes in the Steven Spielberg film Schindler's List, Ms. Djordjevic replied, "People who learn history from Spielberg movies should not tell us how to live our lives." When told that one of the aims of the NATO bombing is to demoralize the Serbs and make them rise against the government of Slobodan Milosevic, she noted that that exactly fits the internationally recognized definition of terrorism, violence against a civilian population intended to destabilize a government. She said that the people responsible for the terror bombing campaign against Serbia should be put on trial by the International Court of Justice. "You cannot terrorize civilians in this way," she said. "We're talking about millions of people who are deprived of basic necessities." Well, Jadranka Djordjevic, you are wrong. You can terrorize millions of people if B'nai B'rit and all of the other New World Order boosters are behind you. Thanks for being with me again today.